my word for you. John chapter 4, I will read verse 21. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." When they announced the first lockdown in March last year, when everything came to a standstill, no churches, nothing, people couldn't meet and so on, I think the people who suffered most are the worshippers. Because these are the people whose life, whose whole being is immersed in worship. They want to worship God. And during that time, I watched how worshipers, believers, we talk about Christians in South Africa, how they reacted, how they took this issue that they cannot go to church. It's not long ago, I think some of the pastors even organized a march to go and march against this issue of not opening churches fully and so. Because you could feel the anguish which they were experiencing because they couldn't worship. And then I read this word, and Jesus says, there is a time which is coming when true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And he says that time has come. That time is now. That people have now to worship in spirit and in truth. I looked at the scripture, and funny enough, Jesus was discussing this issue with someone who was not supposed to be discussing these issues with him. That person in the first place was a woman. And we all know, even the Apostle Paul said that your women must keep quiet, keep silent in church. They must not even speak. They must ask their husbands back home. You know that scripture. Now, Jesus was discussing this with a woman. But not only a woman, a Samaritan woman. Earlier, when you read in the book of Matthew, I think chapter 10, Jesus was sending his disciples to go and preach. And he gives them an instruction. Explicitly, he says to them, please do not enter into any city or village of the Samaritans. You must rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. So the Samaritans are left out. They must not be told the gospel as Jesus was sending his disciples. And I ask myself, how now that he's discussing this most important issue of this time which has come upon us of true worship, and with a person who was not supposed to be talking to him, because when his disciples came back, they had left him to go and buy some food. When they came back, they were surprised to find him talking to a woman. They were surprised. Now, why did Jesus say this to him? And I tried to understand, what was the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans? In fact, who were these Samaritans? Okay, the Samaritans were also Israelites. They were part of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the descendants of Joseph, particularly of his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. The Samaritans were, what can I call, pure blood Israelites. Now, why are they now looked down upon? You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, when Jesus was talking to that lawyer who tried to make himself better, asking Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus said told the parable. Remember that parable? A man was attacked by robbers, left for dead. A priest came, saw him, walked the other way. A Levite came, saw him, walked the other way. They couldn't help this injured man. And then Jesus says, a Samaritan came. He saw the man, went down to him, took him up, nursed him, took him to an inn, and even offered to pay for all the medical expenses of that man. And Jesus said, your neighbor, he was illustrating, your neighbor is that Samaritan. He was telling a Jew at that time. You can imagine how that man who was a Jew felt at that time. Jesus showing that a Samaritan did much better than what a Jew who was supposed to know better, whose priest, whose temple worker, the Levite, couldn't even help their own brother who was injured. Because there was no, the Samaritans and the Jews did not see eye to eye. Let me word Ian Hekom. And their friction comes way back from the days of King Solomon, when Jeroboam, who was also a descendant of Joseph's sons, took the 10 tribes of Israel and he formed Israel, and the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, they formed what we normally call now the Jews. We all know this history. So it comes from there. It comes from the fact that during that time, the Samaritans built their own worship place on what they called Mount Gerizim, in what is known today as Samaria, and in the New Testament it was the province of Samaria. They built their own worship place there. They didn't go down to Jerusalem. And the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem, where David was, where Solomon had built their temple. Now, their friction started in those days. And they started arguing, because remember, all of them are Israelites. They just divided into two houses, the house of Israel, the house of Judah. And they all had this argument, where is the right place to worship? Some say it's Mount Gerizim, some say it's Mount Zion, where their temple was. And immediately they say, where is the right place to worship? The next question will be, what is the correct way to worship? And the next question will be, how must we worship? The next one will be, who must we worship? So they argued along those lines. I always thought maybe they were fighting about some things. No, it was about that. Now, when Jesus talks to this Samaritan woman here, having found her at the well, they start talking about worship, and they start that argument again, because the woman said to Jesus, why do you just say we must worship in Jerusalem? Because we know that we must worship on Mount Gerizim. And so the argument started there. And now Jesus brings finality to this issue. He says, we the Jews know who we worship. We know where we worship. We know how we worship. The same as you Samaritans. You know who you worship, how you worship, and where you worship. And even today, we are here as believers. We all know who we worship. We all know where we worship. I mean, we have different forms of worship. I'm going to see the Lutheran pastor. When you are worshiping with the Lutherans, I've been in their churches a few times. They don't even give you their worship hymns. They have hymn books, worship hymn books. They have them. You as a stranger will just sit in there And they will announce, let us sing hymn 304. That's all they say. And they all know it by heart. You don't know it. You just sit there and they will sing. At least here, I thank God, they print for us the words of the songs they sing here so we can worship with them together. So they have their own way of worshiping and so forth. Every other church, every other race, every other nation, every other people all around the world. Now, if we were to start that argument today and say, who are the true worshipers? Who are worshiping God in the correct way? Who was going to win that argument? Jesus says, the time is coming, the time is come, it is now, where true worshipers will not argue about Mount Gerizim, will not argue about Mount Zion, but true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. And those people that worship God in spirit and in truth, how are we going to know them? How are we going to identify them? I'm going to read the book of Revelation, chapter 5. This scripture that I'm reading, it's very close to my heart. Maybe you may not know. At some stage in my, when I was growing up, I also attended the Jehovah Witnesses. Don't know to call it church, whatever. At that time, we used to call it the Watchtower. The shop owner where we stayed was a member of the Jehovah Witnesses, a very good man, very kind, generous. He took his buggies. He had three buggies. He would send them into our village. They would collect us and take us. They used to call it tuto, class, something like that. They don't say church, as we say. And they used to take us. So I attended there for quite some time. And there I heard them teach, and they said that there will only be 144,000 people that will go to heaven. That's what they taught us. And as I grew up, you know, I had a concern. 144,000 is countable. You can count it and finish it. If you take 12,000 from each and every tribe of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe, you get 144,000. It's done, it's sealed. The doors are closed. So the rest of us, especially for us who even know that we are not Israelites, poor us, it's finished. And then I remember at Africa Youth Evangelism, Africa Youth on said, it really lit Hesseng and Africans. It went something like this. Is waardig om die boek te neem en sy seels oop te maak. And I loved that song. And I started searching. I wanted to know where does it come from? And I found it in the book of Revelation, chapter 9. And I'm going to read. Then I saw a lamp, I'm reading from verse 6. Then I saw a lamp looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe, every language, and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. I read this way. God sent his son Jesus. He died on that cross, and with his blood, he bought us from every tribe, from every language, from every people, from every nation. This was a multitude of people. And when I found these scriptures, I was comforted. Yes, there is the 144,000, God bless them. But I'm also part of this vast multitude of people for whom Jesus has died. And through his blood, I am bought. I also today can be an inheritance of everlasting life. Jesus says, the time is coming and it is come. He was telling the Samaritan woman, if you read that story and complete it, you will read there how that woman went back into her village, told the people. The people came, they saw Jesus, they had Jesus. And you know, the Jews, we all know the Jews at the time had a tough time to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. John chapter 1 says he came to his own did not receive him. But the Samaritans, when you read in chapter 4, when they heard Jesus, they proclaimed and said, this is the Messiah. They gave a seal of approval that Jesus is the Messiah. I was so interested about the Samaritans. When Jesus left, he said to his disciples, you will receive power from on high, and you will become my witnesses, and you will go out and preach the gospel. He says where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and where? In Samaria. You will go there to preach. The Samaritans will also believe. They will receive God. They will become true worshipers, just like you Jews claim to be true worshipers. But the true worshipers will be everyone who will worship God in spirit and in truth. I pray and hope that me and you are part of those true worshipers. God bless you.